marvelous works, for the things that you do. Father, I just pray that we would honor you and glorify you, Lord, with an obedient life to you. I pray, Father, that we would lay down our hopes and our ambitions and the works of our own hands, Lord, in favor of what you would have for us. The very different things that we don't know what it is that you would have. But by faith, Lord, we know that all good things come from you. Lord, you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can stand on your word and have confidence that you will save us in the end. You have saved us, you are saving us, and you will save us. And we are being transformed as we look into the things of your word. So we pray, Lord, that you would fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit, that we might understand these things that we're going through, that we would apply them to our hearts, Lord, that we would indeed be transformed into your image. And Lord, let our hearts have compassion on those around us. And let us not look at with bitterness to the people around us, Lord, but that we would see them as they are, lost and dying sinners. And Father, I just pray that you would fill us with that heart to witness, to be a witness. Oh Lord, we thank you and we just love you for your mercy toward us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, chapter 15, verse 21 was where we're going to pick it up today. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the house, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In Hebrews it tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Hebrews 6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, Ephesians tells us that faith is a gift. It isn't something that we can earn. It's a gift. When I look at what the Lord said to this woman, he says, Great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. That means that the Lord has given her great faith. It isn't something that she is exercising. Now, as I went through this thing and I started to, you know, think about all of the sermons that I heard over the years through these things, good sermons nonetheless, but a lot of them would lead you to the conclusion that if you persevere, that you will strengthen your faith. And I don't find that to be biblical. I believe that as you are obedient to the call of God, the Lord gives you more faith. He gives you enough faith to be saved. And then he will give you more faith to adjust to the different circumstances that you're going through. And that's what it is that we really need to do, is to see that the Lord is guiding each and every one of us in different areas of our lives. Now, he doesn't just completely transform us all together all at once. It has to be an act of yielding our will. We have a will to say, yes, I will. And no, I won't. We saw that in our Genesis study on chapter 5, on Wednesdays, when we saw the five I wills of Lucifer, what the things that he said he would do. Now, what the Lord requires of us is that we would walk humbly before our God. Now, as we're looking at this, in verse 22, or first of all, chapter 21, Jesus is in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, this area is in it's probably in the middle of Lebanon, of what we know as Lebanon today, between Tyre and Sidon and that little area there. However, if we look at the whole map of what was delved to be the coasts of Israel, it went all the way up to the Euphrates River. All of that is part of Israel proper, if you will, according to what Abraham was given. And what David finally took over. David took all of the lands that he was supposed to have, and he created the state of Israel, if you will. He brought it all together. So he's up in this area here. Now, there hasn't, this was considered Gentile country because Israel's borders were changed at that time. Didn't quite go up that far, but the Lord recognized it as being in Israel, as being part of Israel. See, the Lord never left the land. Why? He says so here. He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So apparently there were some sheep up there that he had to find. Now remember the parable of the 100 sheep. The 90 and 9 stayed in the flock, and then there was that one that went astray. Well, here I'm seeing the putting to use of that parable, where he's going up into a place to look for that lost sheep, even though she didn't realize that she was a lost sheep at the time. And in verse 22 he says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now she was on a mission. Her daughter was being vexed. She had something that was physically gnawing at her. Her heart was breaking for her daughter. Now, how many of us who have children and that have children gone astray, their heart does not break every day for those children until they come back into the fold. And every day we fall on our face. Oh, Lord, help us. But the woman here, she was a woman of Canaan. And she said, thou son of David. Now, this was a messianic or a Jewish title of Jesus Christ. And you see there, he didn't answer a word, almost like he was ignoring us. Now, the actions of the Lord disturbs a lot of people in this. Okay, but I think what he was doing is he was drawing this woman out. He didn't respond to a title that she wasn't basically allowed to say. She had no claim to the Messiah in that respect. That's why he answered her, I have come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The promise that came to Abraham was through his seed the Messiah was to be coming. Now, it wasn't just for the Jews, but it was through the Jews that the Messiah was to be born. Now, the Jews took that as to being that only the Jews could be saved, an error on their part. If you look through their history, you see that there were Gentile women in the line of Jesus Christ. You see Rahab the harlot from Jericho days. You see Ruth, who was a Moabitess. Okay, so we see the introduction of Gentile women in the lineage of the Messiah. So she had a part, but not through that title, not through Son of David. That was a totally Jewish messianic title. So let's, as the story goes, he didn't answer her a word. He didn't respond to her in that way because she had no claim to that. So he says, but so then his disciples come up. Now, she's continually saying this, oh, Lord, help me. She's crying after him. Okay, help me, help me. Like the blind men. You know, they were crying after him. He says, you know, guys, be quiet. He's not answering you. He's not going to heal you right now. But they cried all the more. And that's what she was doing. She was following after him, making herself a nuisance, saying, hey, help me. I need help. But this disciple said, now, send her away. Now, if you know anything about the disciples, you know that they were learning, just like we are learning. They made what we would call mistakes. I'm going to say that in quotations. Mistakes is a relative term. But in this respect, they were asking the Lord to send this person away. Now, that isn't what Christianity is about. That isn't what the love of the Spirit tells us to do. The love of the Spirit is inclusive. Come on in. The Lord, in one of the parables, has said, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Grab hold of their garments and drag them in. Jesus Christ is all about inclusion. Whenever you get to an exclusionary, us four and no more. We're happy in our little grouping here, and if somebody else comes in, well, we'll send them down the street. We'll send them away. No, we want to include them, not that we want to be a great body, but that's what the Spirit of God does. It draws us in all the time. It's drawing us in. Come closer. That's what the Lord's all about. It's come closer. your sins have separated you from the Lord. And so we take our sins and say, okay, well, you're a sinner, so you stay outside. I have been cleaned because I have the knowledge of God. I've been studying the Word. And so I know what the Spirit of God says. And so you just stay out there until you're cleaned up, and then you come in. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of those kind of things, but I've been in different churches that said these things. Well, once you get through our catechism program, once you get into our 12-step program, then you'll be worthy enough to come in and partake of the grace that the Lord has. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is inclusive. And as we go through the Scriptures, that's all I ever see is inclusion. But here the disciples are saying, send her away. You know, she's bothering me. Send her away. Now, are there any people in your lives that bother you? Are there any people besides me? Are there any people that that are just irritating to you? The phone rings, you see the caller ID, let the machine get it. Has anybody ever done that? You know, I've called and gotten machines on a lot of you people, so I get that hand up, yeah, okay. So it's okay. You confess your sins and no. But, you know, I mean, it's just like, well, you know, I really can't deal with them now. But the Holy Spirit prompts you and convicts you and says, look, you know, I want to save that person. I want you to touch that person. I don't want you to touch that person, but I want to touch them through you. I want to use you to touch that person. And so to pick up that phone is an act of faith. Those that are led by the Spirit walk in faith. Without faith, the Scripture tells us, it is impossible to please God. And so now, if we are born again of the Spirit, then the Spirit of the living God lives in us and moves us and guides us and basically gives us the resources to be able to do the work of God. If we try to do the Lord's work in our own flesh, what's going to happen? Let the machine get it. You know, oh, you know what, I don't really want to see that person right now. I've got things to do. I'm too busy. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. This is trying to do the Lord's work in our own resources. He doesn't want that. Send them away for right now. Let them, you know, we'll just put them on hold for right now and we'll get back to them later. No, the Lord wants to touch them now. And so he tells the disciples, and he's talking to the disciples here. He's not talking to the woman when he says this. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, if for no other reason that this woman came to Jesus to do this, this was his way of being able to tell us what his mission was in a regular course of a conversation. There are so many intricacies of the Word of God. We see these things, and sometimes we'll refer to this. This was the mission of the Messiah, to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He wasn't sent to the Gentiles at this time. We use this verse. We pull this verse right out, and we set it aside and say, here it is. Jesus said it himself. Now, if this woman had not come asking for help and going through that situation, this verse would not be in there. You seeing how God's working here? He uses all of those different situations to grow us, to show the disciples, hey, disciples, you guys, you know, no, I'm inclusion. Okay, and as we're going to see when we look at the multitudes being fed, they're starting to catch on. We're going to see that. Okay? And so he says, then came she, and mark this well, folks. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Did you know that when you cry out to the Lord, that is an act of worship? This is how we worship the Lord, leaning on His strength, not forsaking our own strength. She had no power to help her daughter, but she worshiped Him. I mean, we talk about praising and worshiping the Lord, and yes, we do that. But also, when we cry out in desperation, when we're hurting, when we're facing a situation that we can't possibly do anything about, the election's coming up. We can't do anything about them singularly, but when we cry out and worship the Lord and say, Lord, help me to vote for who you would want me to vote for, or move me, Lord, into getting involved in what it is that you want me involved in, not because it's a good cause. Oh, there are a lot of good causes out there, but does the Lord want you to be involved in them? Have you spent time, prayer, and fasting to see what it is that the Lord would have you to do or what you would be involved in? You may think, well, I've got a lot of free time on my hands. Good. Keep that free time. Enjoy that free time. Nobody says that you have to have all of your calendar marked up in full. You know, from 6 o'clock in the morning until 12:30 at night, the next day, all of this stuff is filled. It's packed full of things to do. And so I know I'm busy about the things of the Lord. Hogwash. Hogwash. You're just being busy. That's all you're about. It's just being busy. What the Lord does is He gives you free time so that you can examine yourself. Well, am I in the faith or not? What am I doing with my free time? Am I getting to know the Lord better? Am I using this time to take, let me meditate something on the Scriptures. Let me see what the Lord has to say to me. And through that, then He's going to say, okay, now I can guide you because now you're listening. You're in that quiet zone. You don't have all the hustle and bustle going on. Now, a lot of us, you know, we're working, you know, we got, 60 hours a week that we got to work, and then all of a sudden we get laid off, and then we start to panic, and whoa, what am I going to do now? Well, why don't you find out what the Lord has to say about what it is that you should be doing? What should I be doing? Let's get into the Word. Let's see who it is that's going to be forever. Now, we know, okay, in our minds, we know because of the Scriptures that this earth and the heavens are going to pass away. They are going to roll up as a scroll and they will not be remembered again. But yet, we spend 23 and a half hours every day thinking about this world and what we're supposed to do in it. What should I be doing? How should I be ministering? You need to get strong in the Lord so that you can minister and so that you won't be asking dumb questions about sending them away, because that isn't the Lord's way to send somebody away or to dismiss somebody. It's to include. It's to help. That's what the Lord is all about. And so she comes. She worships. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. That should be the thing on our tongue. Lord, help me. Then he says, but he answered and said, it is not me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, rephrasing this. Now, in the King James English, it sounds a little bad. But if you take it and say, if you've got little babies in high chairs, and you're, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, and you know that more stuff gets on the floor than gets in their mouths. You know, that's why you have to have a big bowl of it. So at least some of it, at least 10% of it will get inside the child. The rest of it will be on the floor. And now think of a little puppy dog. You know, a little puppy, 8 weeks old, just weaned, coming up and just licking up the floor. Have you ever seen that? You know how cute that is? This is the scenario that the Lord is giving. It isn't some mongrel dog snapping and taking the food out of the children's hands. It's talking about a little puppy coming up and cleaning after the crumbs here. And that's what the Lord is saying here. It is not meat to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Did she have this in her mind to say to the Lord as she was calling after him? I think not. I don't think she had a clue that the Lord was even going to say anything like that. I believe, And this is just basing it on what the Scriptures have said so far, that the Lord would just say, yes, I will, and heal the daughter. Because that's what his motive operandi has been since then, since he started this thing. Anybody that's needed help, he's gone to do it. I mean, there's nobody in the Scriptures that came to Jesus that went away not fulfilled. And so she had no reason to believe that this would be a first-time case. And so who was it then that gave her the words to speak? That's the issue. You know, it says, in Mark 13, it says, but when they lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. You see, the Lord brought her to that point. The Lord called her to that point. And she just responded naturally. But it was the Lord that gave her the words because of her faith. Because he says, he verified it and said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thy wilt. The faith was that she didn't stay home, but the Lord called her to go meet the Lord because he was in the area. He came up there. Now, it puts me in mind of 1 Kings 17. When Elijah was running from Ahab. He had pronounced a drought. Okay, Elijah the Tishbite in 1 Kings 17. He had proclaimed a drought because of all of the evil that Ahab and Jezebel was doing. And the evil was that they were introducing Baal as the God of Israel and taking the place of the God of Israel, Jehovah God, or Yahweh God, whichever you would want to prefer how to pronounce it. And so he went to a city in Zarephath, okay, which is a city of Zidon, or in the same area that we're looking at now. So beforehand, we see Elijah going to this place as a precursor or as a prophet. And who can argue that Elijah was a prophet? He was indeed a prophet. The woman even says, you're a prophet of God. Why are you talking with me? And so Jesus had to go there because there was going to be another woman that needed help. Now, if you recall the story, the woman was gathering sticks so that she could make some cakes, and then her and her son could die. Apparently, there was a big famine after Elijah called the drought, and there was no food. And so her being a poor widow, she was going to make some cakes, possibly put some poison in it, and her and her son would be killed rather than dying of starvation. Okay, but he says, no, make me a cake first. Bring me a cruse of water and a cake, a little morsel of food. And she did so, and that was the faith, because he said that the oil would not run dry, nor would the barrel of meal go empty until the Lord send rain. Now, we know from the New Testament that it lasted 3.5 years. Now, how many of us have seen that happen? How many have seen, you know, the bag of flour that we had not waste for 3.5 years? Probably not many of us. Probably none of us. But this was one of those miracles that we were not looking for, that she had no idea about. She didn't know, but she knew that he was a man of God. And the Lord gave her the faith to respond as appropriate. Okay, I want to spare this woman. And so here, Jesus is up in the same area doing basically the same thing, testing her faith, if you will. Now, the Lord does that to us as well. How many times do we cry out to the Lord for things and it seems like the heavens are silent? And we start to rack our brain. Is it because of some sin that this is happening to me? Is it because I have done something that I have some unconfessed sin? And it used to be back in years gone by, it would be, well, you're not hearing from the Lord because you have sin in your life. Get that sin out of your life and you can hear from the Lord. But all you have to do is confess your sin. You know that, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So obviously that's not it. But what the Lord, I think, is trying to do is he's trying to draw us closer. He wants us to come closer. Come closer. Okay, you didn't get the answer right away. What are you going to do? Did I really put this on your heart to pursue? Okay, and so it isn't a matter of, well, if I persevere, I'm going to get it. But it's a matter of faith saying, Lord, you put it on my heart. It's still on my heart, so I guess I should go on. I guess I should just push through those things. Now, we all face difficult circumstances. Difficult situations. And sometimes we don't get the answer right away. Sometimes we don't get it for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. But we know in our hearts that the Lord, yeah, Lord, you put it on my heart. Why is this here? He will bring it about in his time. But he's just wanting to draw you closer and closer so that you'll be ready to receive it when it comes. And that's a hard thing for us to do, is to wait. Because if he wanted us, I don't get it. He puts it on my heart, but then he delays giving it. Why does he do that? To strengthen our faith. Strengthen it? Well, I thought it was a gift from him. And it is. He wants to continuously give us. He wants to continually grow us. Like a blade of grass starts from a seed, and then it springs up, little by little. It's growing by the testing of time. So, she got what she wanted. In verse 28 says, Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now she got confirmation. The daughter was made whole, but she was given the confirmation that she had faith. That's, you know, because she had gone through this. Lord, help me. She worshiped. Lord, help me. And that was considered great faith. To be able to worship in times of need, to know that I haven't gotten the answer yet, but I'm still going to call out to the Lord because I have no place else to go. I don't have anywhere else to go. So after that, in verse 29, "And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." All of these things that they saw, all of the fame of him went all through the countryside. They brought people to him. This woman before had no reason to doubt because he was doing it all the way. But she was different than all of the others in that he had dialogue with the Lord. She had dialogue with the Lord. That she was able to speak with the Lord, and the Lord had dialogue with her. That's what a relationship is about. Now, these other people, they were healed, and they wondered, and they glorified God, but there is no communication, no relationship. And that's what she got because of her faith, a relationship. We hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hear that all we have to do is believe what he has done, and we can be saved. That is the gospel. That's the good news. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to earn it. All we have to do is enjoy it. All we have to do is partake. Now, if you have a big steak dinner or whatever your favorite meal is sitting in front of you and you look at this and you see, oh man, this is going to be great. As soon as I put this in my mouth, that's going to be, and you can wonder at it and you can, you know, in your mind go through all of these things. But if you don't pick up a fork and knife and start partaking of it, it's not going to do you any good. Just like this book, if you don't get into it and you don't start partaking of it, it's not going to change your life. It's not going to do you any good. You need to have relationship. It has to be a part of you. Jesus Christ wants to speak to you. Are you going to listen? That's what it is. Are you going to listen? Or are you going to be frosted by the silence? What are you going to do when you don't hear? When you don't get the answer that you thought you were supposed to get? Or maybe you're coming with a predetermined answer. Oh, there's an answer that I really want. You know, I want my daughter to be healed. I want this devil to go away from her. But maybe you don't get that right away. What do we do? That's the testing of our faith. That tests us in the fact of what do we have faith in? Are we going to just give up? Or are we going to continue to have that faith? In verse 32, we're going to see a change in the disciples. It's an interesting change from the first one. In verse 23, he says, the disciples came and besought her, saying, send her away. But now we're going to see Jesus in a different light here. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Now, if you remember when they fed the 5,000, what did the disciples say? So even if we had so much money, we still wouldn't be able to buy this bread. But now they've kind of changed their tone. After the 5,000 fed, they said, okay, well, hold on here now. When should we have so much bread? You know? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took of the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. So I see the disciples here, they're starting to get a hint. They're not the negative anymore. They're saying, Lord, what will you do? What are you going to do? Depending on the Lord's resources. Not trying to muster in themselves, where will we go buy bread? But say, Lord, where are we going to get the bread at? You know, basically, how are we going to get this bread here being in the wilderness? Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill a great multitude? Now, it seemed to me that if the Lord was going to say this, and this is just myself speaking because I've been born again and I have the Spirit of the living God and I can look in here and I can see from one end to the other. But kind of remember, the disciples didn't have the filling of the Holy Spirit yet. Okay, so lest we, kind of just say, well, gosh, you guys are kind of thick, aren't you? I mean, after you've seen all of these things. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not of your flesh. Not at all. Ephesians tells us, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it isn't the disciples that are doing the work. It's Jesus that's doing the work. And he has to do the work. He's using the disciples in this respect in a local sense. But in our economy that we're in now, he wants to use us remotely. He is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. But he is also within us, willing to do that which he wants to do for people all around us. Now, you know, we have a prayer list that goes out every now and again, and I find it fascinating to see how the progression of these prayers go. You know, somebody will say, well, we have a need for this. And then we get the, not the answer right away, but we see, okay, well, we got this much done, keep praying, and then we got another part done, keep praying, until we get it all complete. And then, oh, yeah, everything is cool. So we can see the progression and how God works. Sometimes he works immediately. Sometimes he works gradually. Sometimes he's trying to build our faith. He wants as many people involved as possible. I believe that's what he's trying to do with us here today, with that very same thing. He wants us to know that it's him doing the work, not us. It isn't our talents that get together and say, okay, well, we're going to have this great church. We have this great church is because we are yielded to Jesus Christ, and each one of us are showing forth what it is that we have. Now, on Wednesday, that's the opportunity that we have on Wednesday to come together and bring to the table or bring to the study that which the Lord has shown us. It gives us an opportunity to sit there. Lord showed me this. Now, I've you know, been talking to a lot of you guys, and you say, well, I had a stupid question. Well, there is no stupid question. In fact, some of the questions that we think that are stupid are you know, just kind of like, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to embarrass myself. You can't be embarrassed. Because if you don't say something, the Lord put it on your heart to say something, and you cheated the rest of the body. And the Lord will show you something that he didn't show me. And he'll show somebody else something that he didn't show somebody else. And that's how we grow. We can look at it and say, wow, so he showed, all you had to do was get into the Word and the Holy Spirit showed it to us. It may be just one little thing. It may be just one little thing. But it's something that the Lord wants us all to know. And so we get encouraged. We get emboldened when we sit in a safe area speaking forth the Word of God. And we can say, wow, it says that in the Word of God. I never saw that before. Has anybody ever been in a study that and had heard a message or something and said, wow, I never knew that before? Anybody? Am I the only one? We all have. And it's because we don't know everything, but he wants to use each and every one of us. There isn't one person that's not important. Not one. Now, there are a lot of people who may be timid. And we say, well, I can't say that. The Lord is the one that emboldens us. And how do we get emboldened? By the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does these things. In Acts 18, Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, and Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Now, notice this. He was pressed in his spirit to do this. Now, we think of Paul as this guy that he just goes around every place he goes, he's just preaching the word. But what did he ask for, prayer for? He asked prayer for boldness. He wasn't a bold person. He asked prayer for this. I need to be emboldened so that I will. And so in Acts 18, he says, I was pressed. I was pressed in the spirit to do this. I had no choice. I mean, it was just like I felt emboldened to do this, and I just preached the word. Now, a caveat to that was that the Jews didn't hear it. They didn't listen. They threw him out. And so the next verse says that he says, okay, I've given you the gospel. Henceforth, I go to the Gentiles. And they were relieved. Oh, whew, good. We don't have to put up with this guy anymore. Okay. But even though the Holy Spirit pressed him, they still didn't listen. So don't expect results, at least the results that we think. Perhaps we were just, you know, seeds. That we give the word to people. They don't respond. They laugh at us. They joke with us. You know, they put us to scorn, if you will. That's not your call. Your call is just to be obedient, to do what the Holy Spirit gives you to do, the words that he gives you to say. If you're there, you see, when we gather, we're supposed to be encouraging one another in the most holy faith. We're not here to talk about the sports programs or the political realm or anything. We can do that all outside. But when we come together, we should be looking forward to hearing what the Word of God has done in each of our lives. And when we don't share that, we rip each other off. Because this is what binds us together. This is what creates fellowship one with another. As we went through 1 John, he talks about that. He talks about we have fellowship one with another because we have fellowship with him. What did the Lord show me today? What has the Lord been bringing me through this week? Boy, I had such a great week with the Lord. I was able to look into his word, and he was able to show me all kinds of different things out of the word. And this is what he showed me, blah, 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 blah. And boom, boom, boom. And it was a neat thing, like on Wednesdays. We'll sit around after the study, and we'll be talking about the scriptures, and we'll be just talking about the different things and the depth of it and just encouraging one another to get into the word and to come out and to share. And I invite all of you to do that and not to be and if you don't feel that you can, pray for boldness. That's what you need to do. Pray for boldness that you might speak, because if you can't speak here, how are you going to speak out there in a world that's going to eat you up? Okay, you got to have that confidence that, yes, this is what I believe. 90% of the people in the world don't have a clue what they believe. And I'm not just talking about Christians only. I'm talking about the world in general, because there is so much information and there's so much misinformation out there that we could be going out and you know, you'll be reading one thread on a blog, and then you get another thread that is totally opposite of what you've just read. And so which one is right? I have no idea. So, well, this political candidate believes this. Oh, no, that political candidate believes this. And so on. And so you're looking at it and you're confused. You don't know, what does this person believe? I have no idea. But it's the Lord that brings us together, that gives us the sound mind, that even though we have misinformation, the Lord can show us and lead us and guide us into the right thing to do and the right thing that we should be doing. And so all we have to do is to leave it in his hands. Well, I see this, I see that, and I don't know which way to go. Great. Then, Lord, help me. Worship the Lord and say, Lord, help me. And he's going to love that. And that's where the relationship begins. In chapter 16, he says, and the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. So, here we see three different stories having to do with faith. We see that the religious leaders of the day came seeking a sign. Now, there is no sign that we can get in this world that's going to increase our faith in God. Nothing that we can see. In fact, just the opposite. The things that we see tend to corrupt our faith, because we're putting it on things that we can see. But what did we read before? It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have not seen the new heavens and the new earth. We have not seen them with our eyes. Sometimes our eyes can be a detriment. Has anybody, I'm trying to think of a good illusionist, but you see them all over on YouTube and stuff like that. There are a lot of illusionists out there, and there's one that I saw that just amazed me. He walked through a plate glass window. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but if you go up on YouTube, you can probably see all kinds of different illusionists and stuff like that. And you just kind of like are astounded. How did he do that? I don't know how he did that. You know, is it supernatural or what? We just don't know, because we are so awed by what we are seeing. But what I notice about illusionists, it's all sleight of hand. It's get your attention off of one place so that I can make the illusion that I'm actually doing something. And that's what our eyes will do for us. We can look at something and say, well, that thing is about 100 miles away, but actually it's only a mile away. When you're driving in the highway, you look in the distance and you see lights, and wow, those motorcycles are sure driving close together. I think I can go right between them, but it's actually a big truck. But these are things that, these are illusions that our eyes create for us. They lie to us because of what we're seeing. Why? Because we live in this world, and the things of this world are not gathered, or the things of the next world isn't gathered with our eyes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Is he talking about these kind of ears? Absolutely. As we start to look at the scriptures and we read the scriptures, we hear them in our minds. And they sink down into our ears. And we begin to act on those things. And the Lord is the one that gives us the faith to believe. And he says, these are the things that are true. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees were looking for visible signs, something that they could see with their eyes. Now, remember what was going on in the previous chapter? What was going on? He was healing people left and right. Whoever was coming to him, the blind, the lame, the you know, all of these people were being healed, and they wondered and they marveled, and they gave glory to the God of Israel. And then he feeds them all in the wilderness. What more signs would you be wanting? What more signs could you need? But that wasn't enough. They wanted to see some kind of sign. And it was interesting to me that they didn't ask for a particular sign. If you recall in the Old Testament, Hezekiah was told that he was going to be healed. And Hezekiah, you know, in his bed as he was crying about his situation, rolled over and says, well, how am I going to know that I'm going to be healed? He says, what sign would you have? And Hezekiah says, I don't know. What sign could there possibly be? But that I would be healed, you know. And he says, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn the sundial back 10 spaces. Now, to set it forward would be an easy thing, but to set it back, well, that would be an impossible thing altogether. And that was the sign given. And that's something that you can see with your eyes. You can look at that. But the things that you see with your eyes do not, they do not give you faith. They can't, because they're embedded in this world. The only thing they could do is to draw you into this world. Oh, I remember this experience that I had. Oh, I felt so tingly. I knew that the Holy Spirit was here because I was, oh man, I was just in my seat and I had cold sweats and I was just tingly and I just felt like barking and laughing and oh, those are the things of this world. They have no bearing on the things of the world to come. And all manner of ridiculousnesses will come out of that. Well, you just don't have faith, brother. You can't see it with the eyes of faith, but this is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is a work of God. Well, you know, no, it's not, because that's not what it says in the Word. What's it say in the Word what the Holy Spirit will do for you? What does it say in the Scripture about those that are filled and are born-again believers? What is the Holy Spirit going to do for you? He's going to reveal to you Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to reveal to you. And what he's going to reveal about Jesus Christ is that you can have a relationship with him. That's what it's all about. It's about having the communication. When you have the communication with somebody, you don't have to guess about how they feel, do you? You don't have to guess about, are they pleased with me or not? You know, at the end of a conversation with somebody, exactly how they feel about you. Because you're talking to them. You see them face to face. You see their eyes movement, and you see the expressions in their face. You can see that it's a genuine laughter that they're laughing with you about when you're enjoying one another. Or telling a story or explaining something to them. You know, because that's fellowship. And it's the same thing with the Lord. As we have fellowship with the Lord, we can look at the Lord and we can see him and we can hear his voice. And as we look into his word, we say, wow, these things apply to me. These are the things that the Lord has for me. All of the things in the book of the Revelation, oh, the marvelous things that are going to happen. But the one thing that I see in the book of the Revelation that thrills me more than anything else is that this world and everything in this world, the heavens that we know now and the earth, is all going to be destroyed and not brought to mind again. That's what gives me why? Because there were so many hurts in this world. There's so many people that hurt me. There's so many people that hurt us. You know that. I don't want to have to remember that throughout eternity. And the Lord says, I'm going to take that from you. That's one of the things. I'm going to wipe away every tear. Everything that you had to go through, I'm going to wipe it away. Because the reproaches of them that reproached you fell on him. Why? Because he lives in you. And you are born again. You're a new creature. All things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are new creatures. And we can look forward to those things that are yet to come. So don't look for signs here on the earth. We know that the Lord is at hand. See it in the bulletin here? Right at the bottom. Yeah. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Very soon. Sooner for some than for others. But nonetheless, he's coming back for you. Now, and also in the bulletin, underneath the scripture reading, there is a remember section. Okay, I remember I brought this out to you the next week. I have put this in the bulletin so that you could take this home and you can study this. Okay, this will let you know if you've been having fellowship with the Lord or not. This is what. Because if these things are coming out of you, if these things exude from you when you are pressed, then you know that you are born again of the Spirit. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, what? Faith. Oh, that's a gift of the Spirit. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things that we will show forth if we have Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that reveals you to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have gone through such great lengths to bring us to yourself. I thank you, Lord, that it isn't anything that we have done or anything that we are that you enjoy. It's because of who you are that we are able to enjoy you. And so, Father, we just want to honor you. We want to glorify you with our lives. Help us, Lord, to put down the things of our flesh. Help us, Lord, to just cultivate a relationship with you, a closer walk with you, so that the things of this world would have no meaning. They wouldn't be able to distress us as we look in our papers and see the state of the world today. Lord, we know that you are forever and that you change not. So thank you, Lord, for your goodness and the mercy that you pour out. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. In Jesus' name, amen.